This podcast contains adult language. This is DigitalDarren.com, October the 4th, 2013. Calhoun's still in the building.
I'm here.
Hey, this is a marathon. Today we're going to let him take over and we're going to do conference and division NFL breakdown. And it's not a power poll. We're not ranking teams from bottom to top. We're just going to talk about conferences. Pick, you know, now that we've seen a little bit, we can give you a clearer picture of who we think will win.
It's the takeover. Once again. On behalf of Digital Darren, we do welcome all to come to the podcast and give us your take. We're not 92.9. We'll show you some love.
Yeah, again, if you email us at DigitalDarren.com or find us on Skype, @D-Walters or DigitalDarren.com, you could be on while we're doing this because we're doing this. We're live, but we're on through Skype a lot too. So if you want to be on, again, you're on. And you can talk to some of your favorite personalities. I know Calhoun is a fan favorite. I know a lot of people like Double R. Shout out to Double R. I know Lynn itself is a favorite.
You know what I'm saying?
So shout out to Lynn itself. So again, this is Calhoun is taking over this and I'm gonna sit back. I'll be in the podcast, but we're gonna let him run it and do what he wants to do.
It's about time I had my moment to shine. Now that he's had his senses about him. Let's go ahead and get started. We're gonna do north, south, east, west. So we'll first start off with the NFC North, right?
You want to start off with the NFC or the AFC?
Let's do the NFC. Hey, this is my motherfucking show, man. Come on, man. God damn. This is what Digital Darren does. Okay, so in the NFC North, we got Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. Now, out of these, which is the most surprising to you?
Green Bay being 1-2.
That is surprising. What about Detroit being 3-1? You thought that?
You remember in our preview show, I told you they were going to the playoffs. So that 1-2. Reggie Bush, man, this is my time to shine. Oh, you didn't want Reggie Bush for the Falcons. I bet y'all will take him now over Steven Jackson.
Listen, we both know we got two running backs made out of paper mache.
That's what we know.
Steven Jackson and Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush been hurt this year already too now.
But so he's coming back.
Hey, Steven Jackson coming back.
We in next year.
They say he's questionable for the next game. He'll probably be back next game. Listen, we're not going to get into that. So, you have the biggest story in the NFC North is Green Bay being 1-2. I agree. I didn't think they'll suck as much. I didn't think Minnesota will suck as much as they're sucking either. AP wheeled it off. They went to the playoff last year. I thought they was had something to build on. They got Christian Ponder back, even though he sucks. But I thought with Greg Jennings, they were going to make a little noise. They didn't make any noise. Chicago is what Chicago is. I think they go as far as Jay Cutler take him, which is not very far to me. I think he's a poor man's Brett Favre, but he has all of the arrogance of a fucking giant. He's what you call a real organic douchebag.
But you gotta like those guys who, they walk around like they got $100 million, even though they don't got $1,000 in their pocket.
Yeah, but it's even worse when they walk around like $100 million and he got $100 million. He's really awful.
Yeah.
That some bitch awful. It's only
Drake said the best is bad when you are with everybody what you think you are.
Yeah, but he is not what he thinks he is. Jay Cutler really sucks. He got good time, he got an arm strength, but he's not that good. He's fool's gold. So let's get back to this. In Detroit you have another gunslinger in Matthew Stafford. Now how far you think they're gonna go?
Like I told you before, they'll make the playoffs. I can pretty much say that they're going to make the playoffs.
First, you got a Tasmanian devil with anger issues on the defensive side of the ball. And Sue, I'm not even going to butcher his first name, which I like. I think this NFL is too pussy for him. I love the fact that he slung him down and he stepped on the guy and he kicked Sharp in the balls and he just raising hell. I love it. That's what it's supposed to be nasty. You in the trenches. You're supposed to be nasty. I don't know why they want a good guy. But I love that. So out of this division, you got Detroit coming out. Anyone else coming out into the playoffs in this division?
I say
your mom will let you go against Green Bay, will it?
It's versus Chicago and Green Bay. It's hard. Green Bay two back right now.
Yeah.
Two back in Chicago, right?
It's early.
Very early. I'm going to say Chicago. I'm going to say Green Bay don't make the playoffs this year.
That's strong. That is strong.
I think a lot of it deals with scheduling, too, because Green Bay still had to play the Falcons.
But the Falcons looking like shit.
But, man, you know, they have a strong schedule. I think they play some other teams who should challenge them.
Man, they looking like shit. It's just a toss-up. This first quarter of football has been very, very unpredictable. And it's very hard to even game in, game out. I think we should blow the Jets out. The Falcons should. But who knows how that'll go. But that's another story. Okay, so we're done with NFC North. Detroit looks good right now. I don't think it'll hold. I think, again, me and this pedigree, I think Green Bay will catch on second, third, and fourth quarter of the season. I think Chicago's going to stay where they are. I think that's a really good division.
I think it's a good division.
I think so, because Detroit is back, and I think Chicago and Green Bay is going to get back. Now, Minnesota's going to be what Minnesota is. They got Christian Ponder as quarterback, and they got some running the show, so you're doing the same. So, I don't know. But I think they're pretty good. So, NFC North is pretty competitive division. We could deem it competitive. So, we're going to do this. We're going to deem good division, bad divisions. Competitive, non-competitive. I think that's a competitive division.
I can see competitive. You got two teams who are in prime position for the playoffs. And you got a third team who has pedigree, which can handle a franchise quarterback, which counts for a lot.
Which move us to dun, 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 the NFC South.
You want to take home out? You're a tourist stopping at home a little prematurely. You don't want to go to another region?
No, let's get the bad shit out the way.
Let's go.
All right, so we have New Orleans, who's butt-fucking everybody else in a division. Carolina is where Carolina is with Cam Newton. A good show, but a real loss. Atlanta, they playing like wet dope. You don't know what you're going to get, but they fooled you with the 2-for-5. And then you got Tampa Bay, who's 0-4. And their coach is just being chaos. What do you think about this division?
Well, Tampa Bay isn't the worst team in the league, just because Jacksonville is probably the worst team in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
But they are sick. And not only do they have on-the-field problems, they have coach, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have problems on the field, off the field. So it's making it a lot worse or whatever. So I think Tampa Bay is not what, you know, I think that it's not what the course, not what they expected. But I think if you ask me what I think their record would have been at this point, just before the season, I would say like 2-2.
I would have said maybe even 3-1. Out of the division, to be honest with you, I think Tampa Bay has the most talent.
No, I won't say that.
I think so.
I think everybody in this division is
equal. No, listen.
Relatively equal.
The last 2-3 years between the draft and free agency, no one in this division has made the moves Tampa Bay has made.
Let me say this. I believe they're probably the only team in the division who can say even in both sides, meaning that the Falcons may be an A on offense and an F on defense, talent wise.
Mm-hmm.
They may be,
well,
may be
about the same.
Yeah, and they may be a B and a B. You know what I'm saying? Two Bs.
I get you that.
So from that standpoint,
which is why I'm saying I think they have more talent all around.
From that standpoint, I can agree with you. I think their lows shouldn't be this low.
They shouldn't.
And their highs, I don't think offensively their highs can top the other team's highs. I think their highs are just what it is, a B. I think that the highs of Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta are better than the highs of Tampa Bay on offense.
Not supposed to be. I mean, besides maybe Julio and Roddy White, they got the other best receiver. Vincent Jackson is a stud.
But they do.
You got the muscle Harrison running the ball. You got when Dallas Clark is a tight end, right?
No, Dallas Clark was with Baltimore. So he's not the tight end.
He's not with him. Who that tight end is?
If you got to ask, it doesn't matter. Right. So
they got the other guy on the side of the ball, the other wide receiver, who's pretty good. I'm saying they are pretty good, and then they wouldn't spend so much money on that defense.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, goal-wise, you can't really say anything.
Revis, and then the two boys they drafted, the boy from Texas, McCoy, and then Claiborne.
See, I always feel Revis was overweighted, but I agree with you from a talent standpoint. They are probably the most balanced from both sides of the
okay.
field.
I can go with you on that.
Like I said, I don't think offensively their highs can be reached by anybody else. I mean, they aren't as high as anybody else in the division. Now, the problem with that The problem with the NFC South is that it's very competitive, and it seems like besides New Orleans, nobody's taking that next step.
No, it seems like.
And I don't know if it's because of the competition they're playing, like with the Falcons. The Falcons have actually played some pretty hard games so far. You know what I'm saying? And with Carolina, I don't know what you're getting with Cam Newton. I don't know if he's just a good stack, a good player.
I think it's River era.
Yeah, it may be both. I'm saying it's Cam Newton destined to be a good stats, bad player, good player, bad team type player. I don't know. I mean, still, he tantalizes you with that talent, but he's never had that win that makes you.
They shouldn't be as bad as they are because you got Greg Olsen at tight end. You still got Steve Smith, who's a stud. You got a good running game, a good quarterback, a decent quarterback. You got a hell of a linebacking core in front seven over there with Keekly and Davis, and they got Johnson. Man, they got a team.
That's enough we should spend on Carolina.
Let's be honest here.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. They have talent.
So this division.
Let's get to what everybody want to hear. The Falcons. We're 1-3 right now.
I think it's the biggest surprise of the division. And I don't mean that just as a Falcon fan. I think from the television network, from local talent, from fans of the team, no one would have thought they would be 1-3.
Yeah.
I would have never thought they would have lost to Miami.
Yeah. Me and Double R, again, shout out Double R, did a preview podcast where we predicted the Falcons' records, which I thought was a
win. Yeah, and you did 3-1 at this
point. Yeah, everybody had either 3-1 or he had 4-0. You know what I'm saying? So for them to be 1-3,
it's just amazing. I think that is the surprise of it.
Does anybody need to go right now?
I think as much as I joke about it, I think we'd be acting premature if we fire anybody right now. But I think they need to get their shit together. I think it needs to be a total change. Something needs to happen. One, we need to start investing in the defense. We got to make some adjustments. We got to make some talent. What we got is not good enough. And they keep rolling with the same people. And then, it's been some injuries, but let's just be honest. Our defense wasn't good enough to begin with. You got Corbin as your stud on defense. You got a whole lot of problems coming your way. And I think that's a big problem with us. So, what do you think they need to do?
Immediately? Again, I'm going to go back to Matt Ryan, man. Defense. It's so funny these two teams mirror each other. And one is professional, one is college. The Falcons in Georgia.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, we're asking our offense to do a lot, but it's set up for our offense to do a lot.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? You can't expect a below average defense to be nothing but a below average defense. And to your point, we have a talent problem on defense. I completely agree. I give you that all day, every day. But if we're acknowledging that we have a talent problem on defense, I think that Mike Nolan has. I don't think he's been consistently doing this, but I think he's done a really good job at times of bringing pressure. I think he's brought pressure sometimes at the right times. Because one thing you can say is that we are getting more pressure. At least I feel that we're getting more pressure than we've ever gotten or that we've gotten in the past few years from everybody.
I think last year was the year we got more pressure. I think this year they're playing it more safe. They're playing it safer, except for the game against Miami. They start coming out their shell.
But even Drew Brees, they were getting pressure.
They were dropping in the zones. They were rushing like 3 or 4. A lot of time they rushed, they act like they were rushing for dropping Beerman back in the zone. And they kept getting, because that's how Graham was getting open like it was. He just wasn't throwing to him. But Beerman was the one who was pushing him, dropping in the zone. No, they wasn't doing it then. The pressure came with Miami. They brought a little bit of pressure against New England. Not a lot. They brought a little bit of pressure there. They got to dial up the blitz. We don't have a front four. Ozzie Umeyor. Oh, my God. It's amazing to me. It is amazing to me. He was the shit in New York. Now he's just pure shit.
That's what happens when you get 4 of the Pro Bowls playing with you, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Maybe, yeah. You're exactly right. Can't say nothing about it. John Abraham was getting pressure.
He isn't as good as John Abraham. I think that's point blank, period.
Did you think that before he came in?
Yeah. I never was that big an Osi fan anyway. I always thought
he got off the ball quick. He got good hands.
I always thought out of all them Tuck and Pierre Paul were the two who could do it by themselves. I never thought Osi was a person to do this.
I think Pierre Paul. I think Tuck.
But
yeah. how do we not go after a defensive lineman? Another one.
I mean, it's hard to do it. It's hard to use a lineman worth anything right now. Besides, I don't have anything to trade right.
But draft picks.
When you have them.
We still got number one.
Would you trade that for a defensive lineman on 1-3 team?
I mean, we need to win now. So I'll put a lot of stocks. We need to win now. This is Tony last year. Right, a white contract is coming up. This is our year. And they're squandering it. You know what they're like? They're like a rich kid who got his hands on his inheritance before his parents died. And they're squandering it. We don't have much. Like you said, we don't have no talent on that defense. I like William Moore, but he's an
average to above average player.
That's how he is. He don't have good cover skill. He's just a good downhill hitter. He'll hit the shit out you. But you can burn him all day long and you can twist him. He's going to take bad angles. Day Cool is amazing. He got to have a plan with the devil. As soon as he leaves football, he going to hell and doing the devil's bidding. That's what he's doing. Because he got to come up on the deal that he got. And as far as the rest of them guys, our linebacker course suck except for Witherspoon. Our linemen suck. So and the cornerbacks, I like Alfred. Asante can't stay healthy worth the shit these days. And True Funk getting beat like a drum. So we got a long ways to go. So the surprise in this division would be who, of course? The Falcons.
Hometown Falcons being 1-3. I know you're taking over the show. I want to flip and ask you a question.
Go ahead.
It's in the same vein. Do they make the playoffs?
From what they've shown me so far?
Man, where they sit today, where they sit, we're looking at the complete NFC picture. Do they make the playoffs?
It's a ballsy call. Yeah. Only because a lot of teams they're facing is slumping too. So your Green Bay's are slumping. We got Carolina, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay got a rookie now. He's winning. We got to play New Orleans once, and that's here. The teams we have to face, they're slumping also.
I'll say the good thing about where the Falcons are right now is that they're in the NFC. It looks like only one team has come from the NFC East, and we'll get to that conference later. I know this is your show. I'm just
flipping. No, go ahead.
It only looks like one team looking at what we're looking at now. That only one team.
You're going ahead, man. I'm going to get to the NFC.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it only looks like one, at least from the picture we look at now. So the Falcons' best thing is that there's no other runaway team.
Right. I mean, like,
in the NFC.
In the West, we still got to face three teams out of there.
I mean, it's two teams right now who pretty much are locked in the playoffs. New Orleans and Seattle.
Yeah,
and those are two region winners.
We lost to both of the AFC. Well, I will get to that in a minute. That's amazing we lost to the Dolphins in New England. That is fucking amazing. Not New England, Marlins, and even New England, because they don't even have shit now. It's really just Tom Brady and who is Buddy. That's who it is. That's who you throw it to, Buddy. Who is that? I don't know. It's Buddy. But we're going to the NFC East now. So NFC East, we have Dallas, Philly, Washington, and the Giants. And this is the who's who of bullshit division. This division was really shitty this year. And it was one of the most competitive divisions in football. Ever, right? So, what's the surprise in this division? I think it's only one surprise in it.
For me, it's two.
Really? What's the second one?
Of course, the first one is the Giants. The Super Bowl pedigree that they have. And I said this on one, and I'm going to say this about another team, too. The Giants and Pittsburgh. Two things that go really bad, really fast. Porn stars and football teams. And when it's gone,
it's gone.
It's gone. There's no getting. I don't know if it's any getting it back. And I don't know what the Giants. It's hard to say Tom Coughlin needs to be fired.
No, he doesn't.
But what do you do? Because it seems like the locker room is split on him. It's like the locker room is turned on him. You can't get rid of Eli. What do you do?
Well, it goes back to you got to spend a little money. And the money they need to spend need to be in the offensive line. Of course he's, man, you seen some of these games. Eli getting his head bashed in. They're not blocking worth a damn. So they gotta protect. No quarterback's gonna look good if they're not blocking for him. It's just not gonna happen. Then you're gonna have disgruntled receivers, you're gonna have a disgruntled defense, all that shit works together. Starts in the trenches, and that's where the problem started in New York. I think that is the biggest surprise of the NFC East. But you said you had two. What was the second one? Is it the Washington Redskins?
No, I kind of expected them to be where they are right now. Let's talk about them for just. Can I talk about them for one quick second? I think the history will remember this year, depending on how it turns out for them, is a certain kind of way. Shanahan them took a huge gamble by not playing Robert Griffin. A gamble which you have to take because if you get hurt in the preseason, you'll never coach again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I think that it's one of the things where you say this is a case study for, hey, if our superstar quarterback gets hurt, we have to burn a season. We might have to burn the next season.
Well, even if he gets
hurt. If he's a running quarterback. Let's say that.
You have got to set up plays for him to play in the preseason, get the ball out fast. Maybe even one series a game. Or a
drive. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's a case study. And he's rested. He doesn't trust himself.
No.
And you know what I'm saying? So I just think that that's an interesting case study in football down the line.
But the kid shot out. His first three games are all 300-yard games.
But they've been playing catch-up. Like, they were down big margins in a lot of these games. So, that's fool's gold.
Yeah.
My second surprise, I just wanted to speak on Washington real quick, was Philadelphia. And I didn't, like I said in the preview podcast, I didn't think Chip Kelly would be good. Me and you even talked about that before. But I didn't think they would be 1-3 bad, and I didn't think they would be losing by 32 points bad. And for people who look at college, it's almost like what he did to other schools in college, they're doing to him now in the pros. And part of it is the way he's coaching. Like, this goes both ways. And in college, and I said this earlier, when you don't have an athletic advantage, your offense is all real, but your defense is getting the shit beat out of them. You know what I'm saying? It goes both ways. So if your offense is running 100 plays, their offense is running that many more plays because you don't care time of possession. And so I think that I don't know how anybody didn't see this coming.
Well, I said it from the jump. For one, they're 40-20, right? So the opposing team has the ball 40 minutes, and you had about 20 minutes. Now, you're putting up 30 points, so you're putting up 20 points without a doubt. But you're leaving your defense out there to dry.
And the NFL season isn't like college where you could. Like, in Oregon, a lot of his third stringers were better than some of the teams he played first stringers. You know what I'm saying? So, it's that much of a talent difference. You know what I'm saying? They actually had a really big talent difference. But, with that being said, I think that I didn't expect them to be 1-3 and be in this situation. You know what I'm saying? I thought that this was, if Michael Vick had anything left, this was the offense to show it in. And I think he's actually doing.
He's doing pretty good.
I would give him a C-, but where do you go from here? Because one of the main tenets of his system is that we don't care about time possession.
Well, now you made a mistake in hiring that motherfucker. Period. Because he's not even acclimating his game to the NFL. He's bringing college to the NFL, and it's not working.
Well, I think that this is first. I think that if he's a good coach, he'll come up with adjustments.
He's a stubborn coach. I think he's like Dan Tony with the Lakers. I think he's just, we're going to do it this way.
Well, it's hard to tell. It's 25% into his 25% into his first season. So,
I mean, maybe it's premature.
But right now, it's.
I think that's what he is.
Right now, his system is not working.
I think as much as, you know, you root for him, I think you got to get rid of Michael Vick and get a real quarterback. And I think you have to do something with the coach. You have to make major adjustment. Listen, I like Michael Vick, and it was fun to watch when he was here in Atlanta. But bottom line, you're not winning anything with Michael Vick. It's just not going to happen. Michael Vick is not going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. Think about the quarterbacks that were greater than him. None of them had his running skill set. But you think about Randall Cunningham. And if it was ever going to be a super that can do that, run and throw, it would have been Randall Cunningham. It's not going to be Michael Vick. I tell you who else is not going to be either. RG3. It's probably not, and I like RG3. I hope it is. But it's probably not going to be him.
See, I'm with you. I think that, and I hate to sound racist in saying this, my stock on a lot of these black quarterbacks is.
It's going down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the only one you can say that you could have confidence in, and I think that the reason that you have confidence is because they treat him with kid gloves, and they were just showing that this team throws the least amount per game in NFL.
Seattle.
But I think they treat Russell Wilson with kid gloves. And so, I'm with you. I didn't think last year was an aberration for RG3. I just think that people got too excited too soon.
Now, I think the thing with RG3 is this. This is what's going to hinder him. And it's going to be a little bit like Mike Vick. He's really too small to be out the pocket as much as he has to be in order to win. And when you're that size, he's not like Cam Newton. He's not that big. He's a small guy. So those kind of hits he can't take. And that's what's going to happen. Andrew's going to mess up his career. What I think that they should do, I think a big problem is a lot of teams get excited about the athleticism of these quarterbacks. And instead of just having them be pocket passers with the ability to scramble or who could just scramble good in the pocket and throw, they do these read options.
So let me ask you a question, because I actually have a theory about this.
Okay, what's the question?
Well, now, let me say my theory, I guess. Let me state my theory than the question. Do you think that the position of quarterback from a financial and an important standpoint, the league is going to be revolutionized, meaning it's better to, instead of investing all your money in one quarterback, to get two evenly quarterbacks. So you get you a Johnny Manziel and a Denard Robinson, both who can run. So if you do, your quarterback does get hurt, you have another who can run the same system. Do you think the league will ever go that way?
Because you're setting yourself up to fail. Any team that does that is not going to go far. Because either one is, so you do get him because you know he's going to get hurt. Well, he's going to be so rusty coming off the bench. Or, you know, it's different. He doesn't see the same things. It doesn't read the same way. I think that what you have to do, I'm going to say a great example, is Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor really can play quarterback. Not running quarterback, not read option quarterback, I take off quarterback, but I can go through 1, 2, 3 progressions and I can throw this motherfucking ball.
Well, let me ask you this then.
I think with the athleticism that some of these kids are bringing, that everyone gets enamored, like, we can get the defense on the hill by running. You got to let them play quarterback. And then if he can't play quarterback, get him out the fucking system and get another person who can. But more than running, they have to throw the ball. That's what the quarterback has to do.
Well, I want to come at that problem from another angle. Everybody in college is teaching read option type football. Quick reads, no hard progressions. Georgia, who else?
Alabama,
and it's another team who runs Lane Kiffin before he got fired. Florida, most LSU, most of these
pro style
offense outside of the SEC. There aren't many pro style offenses around, so your labor force is going to be not pro style offenses, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's what the NFL is going to be. And if it is going to get there, then you're going to have to, reevaluate the position of quarterback and how valuable it is.
See, I know. And I think what happens is, just like with these kids who play now, because did Robert Griffin run the pro style offense at Baylor? Did Cam run it at Auburn? Yeah, he ran it at Auburn, didn't he?
Oh, hell no. Ran Gusman was on.
Okay.
Like none of these.
Wilson ran in Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin and North Carolina State, he did. Yeah.
Okay. The thing about it is,
Andrew Luck did. Here's
the thing about Andrew Luck. Like, he has the same athleticism to a degree. He had the same 40 time as Cam Newton had.
Well, let me go back to that. I think long term he's going to be the best out of all of them, just because of something that he's probably going to be.
He's going to be the most helpful guy out of them. They're giving him the keys to the car. They let him drive.
Which they don't do with Russell Wilson. So
they damn sure don't do it with RG3.
Yeah, so I agree with you on that. Let's get back to it.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
We talked about NFC East, and this is your show, so I'm going to fall back.
What do you think about Dallas? That's your team. You picked them to come out.
Man, I picked them to come out, and they looking like they're going to come out right now, man.
Because it just sucked by default.
Yeah, man. It looks like 8-8-7-9 can win you this division.
That's awesome. So the NFC East, competitive or not competitive?
You didn't say it about the South. Let's do the South. NFC
I
South.
I did do the South.
You didn't say competitive, not competitive.
Yes, I did. All right, let's go back. NFC South, competitive, not competitive.
I say competitive.
You say competitive? Yeah. They sucking right now. Like, everybody suck but New Orleans.
But if you look right now, the Falcons are 1-3 with a -10 differential. So that means they lost every game by 3 points.
Yeah, but all right. So competitive. I don't know. All right. Well, maybe.
Look at the point differentials of the conference. Like a good a good way for this is just basically add up all the point differentials and divide them by four, right? And that's like the NFC would be in the negative. They're the only conference we've done so far that would be in the negative.
That's awful.
And they're in the negative by far.
Yeah, they suck.
So like right now, if you look at it, they're plus 19, minus 39. So I mean, they're minus 20, minus 21, minus 41, minus 85. So they're minus 126 essentially. So you divide it by four, the average point is minus 30. That means they're losing games by 30 points.
That's bad business. So they suck.
Or even if you break that down, they lose the games by 10 points a game as a conference.
That's horrible. So, all right, so now let's venture on down to the West. Well, let's go over there. So here we have Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, St. Louis. Now, who is the surprise here?
You're going to laugh. I said that, well, they're not really a surprise. San Francisco, I guess, like everybody else.
That would be the biggest surprise, I think, because everyone thought they would be better than what they are.
And I won't say they're bad, 2-2, they're in the midst of everything. I just think that their lows have been really low, let's say that. Their lows have been very low, I guess that's the best way of saying it.
Yeah. So, you have Arizona, that's the team you picked to come out of here, right?
I mean, they're still in the mix of everything.
Man, get out of here. Like we said, they're not coming out, and they ain't coming out.
They 2-2. I mean, they're 2-2. So you can say what you want to. They're in the mix, but, you know.
They're not coming out. St. Louis, they suck ass. And Seattle is looking like the front runner right now in the NFC. Of course, with New Orleans coming out of our division, but.
I mean, you made a comment about it a long time ago. Seattle looks like Seattle and New Orleans are probably two of the best four teams in the league.
Yeah.
With the comment you made earlier about the league just being the entire league may be at a D.
Yeah.
And those two teams may be at a B plus, which makes it seem like that much better.
Man, just that much over everyone. And right now they're playing like that. In the first quarter, you got to give the award to both of those teams.
Yeah.
New Orleans probably edging them out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think head to head New Orleans win. I think New Orleans is one of the few teams that can go into Seattle.
I don't know because New Orleans defense is not as good as Seattle offense, but Seattle's defense is just as good as New Orleans offense.
They aren't a match.
You get them boys. You get them Sermon and Brown and Earl Thomas them together. I'm telling you now. You get the Legion of Boom, and then they got the Juice Boy back and Irvin.
How the hell do you know all these nicknames?
What do you mean? I watch sports, motherfucker. What are you talking about?
What are these nicknames?
You don't need to mention the film. Because you're jacking off watching Ric Flair. Woo! That's what you want to do. You want to buy your Rolex.
You got to be the man. And in this case, you're looking at the man. I give it to Ric Flair.
Woo! I'll take it. I love it. All right, so, NFC West, competitive or not competitive?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think they're in the mix, man. I say competitive. I think they're in the mix. It's early in the season. You got two of these teams, 2-2. And they got to fight. I don't think San Francisco.
I say not competitive.
You say not competitive?
San Francisco lost by 30 to an AFC team who we aren't even.
Hey.
Can't even say the top five AFC team.
Listen. Early in the season, everyone's working out the kinks. I think a lot of what we're saying right now.
That follow-up game where they got smashed.
Listen, I think a lot of what we're saying right now is the direct results of that CBA shit where these teams can't practice like they need to practice, can't hit like they need to hit, can't work on what they need to work on. And that's why we're saying the quality of ball that we're seeing. Let's be honest. Them fucking suit wearers is the problem. And that's why we got the NFL what we got.
So right now, just to help, just to keep count, I have two divisions competitive, the North and the South, and two not competitive, the East and the West. How many do you have competitive?
I'm going to say the West is competitive. So I'm going to say the North.
So you have 2-2, but you just have a different 2-2.
Yeah, I don't think the South is competitive. Not right now, not at this point. You got 1-4-0-10, and then the rest of these motherfuckers, 1-2, 1-3, the fucking Falcons. And then 0-4 in Tampa Bay. I don't think that division is as competitive as it has been in recent time, as the NFC East. It's not competitive as it has been. I think they're both very, very competitive. You know, history of those divisions, they're very competitive. But as of now, they sucking. They suck donkey's ass. All right, so now we're going to flip it over to the old AFC, the bullshit side. And so we'll start off with the
AFC. She had a CD called Money Side and Murder Side. Which side is this?
This is neither. This is the dog shit side. Let's be honest. AFC sucks. So let's go to the AFC North.
If you had to compare this to Speaker Box a little below, which one would be which?
Oh, side? By far, it's Speaker
Box. Which one encompasses Speaker Box?
It's Speaker Box.
So which one is the little below?
Oh, AFC is, the NFC is the little below.
And the AFC is Speaker Box.
Yeah.
So what does that say about what you think about Outkast?
They're going to go diamond anyway. So, let's do this. We're going to go to traditionally the most competitive division in this conference, and that is the AFC North. Now, it's a shame, people. Cleveland is 3-2, Baltimore 2-2, Cincinnati 2-2, and Pittsburgh, oh my, 0-4 with a 41 point differential. Good God, Pittsburgh is bringing the whole division down. Okay, so competitive, not competitive. Start off. What? First, they have to be the biggest surprise in this division.
Pittsburgh?
Gotta be.
Yeah. Like I told you, man. Poor stars and old foot. When they get old, it goes bad real fast. And unlike a porn star, these guys can't have a quick fit surgery, dude. Or they can't. Normally, porn stars get big and jump into BBW porn land. Or they may go to some special fetish.
I don't know.
These guys can't do anything like that.
So, you know what Digital Darren does at night? So, now, let's go to the. I'm scared to even touch this microphone. So let's go to the other surprise. I think Cleveland get rid of Trent Richardson, right? And still leading the division at 3-2. Now that's amazing to me.
I feel like A, the running back position is kind of.
You can change them.
You can change them out and two.
Unless you got a real good one.
And B is that, and that goes to if you're not AP or Reggie Bush recently or.
Oh, I mean it's Matt Forte.
No, I mean. Trent Richardson isn't in that category. He's expendable at his position.
Texas running back?
Foster. I mean, yeah, you say out of names, we could just cut it down and say Trent Richardson isn't in those group of players.
Well, we don't even just 1 year in.
I mean, even then, these people first year in, they showed something, right?
Like, not Arian Foster. No,
yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
But that was his second year.
Maybe second, though, he came around, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like.
But I understand what you're saying. Trent Richardson hasn't. And then he get hurt. So, but still, you pick your number three draft pick. And, but that's neither here nor there. Cleveland is the second biggest surprise, I think. Pittsburgh, I would never thought would have went 0-4. Cleveland, with the whirlwind they have going on, 3-2 is amazing. I mean, Baltimore, $100 million quarterback. Is he worth $100 million?
Absolutely.
How is Joe Flacco worth more than Matt Ryan?
Can I say one thing?
No. What you gonna say, ring?
Exactly.
Nah, it's 22 starters. No, it's not going to work. No. You give Matt Ryan Baltimore.
Can I ask you a question?
Give me Ray Lewis, and then let's talk.
Can I ask you one question?
Come on.
You got a captain of two ships. Who you pay the most? The one who makes it back safely, the one who breaks the ship down?
What if his crew is better than the other guy?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. If his crew is better, then it's going to be better, right?
Let me ask you this. Who had better offensive weapons, Joe Flacco or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan, by a little bit, though, because he got Ray Rice and Anquan Boldin. Let's not just say he's shitty, though. He got Ray Rice, Anquan Boldin that year. He got Dennis Peter.
Do they compare to the
Flacco? Torrey Smith.
Do they compare to the Flacco?
Anquan Boldin and listen, Anquan Boldin, Roddy White, you can do a corn.
No, Roddy White, but Roddy White is fine time pro bowl. Anquan Boldin ain't never been no fucking.
Wait a minute, now, yes he has.
Not five of them.
He may not have been five, but he done been a lot on them.
No, Anquan Boldin been the same.
No, Anquan Boldin was a man in Arizona.
We can look it up real quick.
Now let's get back to this. Alright, so the AFC North, competitive or not competitive?
I'm looking at point differential. You throw Pittsburgh out, and they're very competitive.
Very. They're very competitive.
Pittsburgh. Do you fire Mike Tomlin?
No, you don't fire Mike Tomlin.
What changes can you make? You can't get rid of Ben. Do you get rid of Ben?
No. Oh.
You can't get rid of Dick LeBeau.
You know who you get rid of? Coordinators.
You can't get rid of Dick LeBeau.
Hey, not Dick LeBeau. No, he's here. They're going to bury him. They're going to bury Dick LeBeau. He's going to get buried at the 50. But you get rid of any Todd Haley? Any of the coordinator now? They didn't like him anyway. Get him out of here. So he goes, and they're trying to get younger, right? So you continue doing that, and that'll be fine. So let's move on to the next one. So who's in the AFC North?
So we both agree that they compete.
They're very.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, they're okay.
So let me ask you this. I know this is your show again. Uh-huh. This is a takeover. Who wins the division? Because it's a pretty even division right
it's
now.
It's not fucking Cleveland. I can tell you that right fucking now. It's not Cleveland. And you got to throw Pittsburgh out. Because in the beginning, a few podcasts ago, I was like, it's going to be either Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
I said it was going to be Cincinnati, you looked at me like I was stupid as shit.
Well, I like pedigree. So I go by history here. Right? I go by... If the suit fits, you keep wearing it. I don't believe in changing it up. But you're going to have to change up Pittsburgh all the way out of the equation. So, it's either Cincinnati or Baltimore. You can do either one. I don't know.
I say Cincinnati. I'm going to stick with who I picked initially. I think Cincinnati. I think Baltimore, they're basking in the championship. I think Flacco got his money. He's like, fuck it. Now, I mean, I think he's just taking more gambles than he normally would take.
Yeah, you can't bank on him. Cleveland out. Baltimore, you can't bank on. Pittsburgh is out.
I say this to their credit. It's only one team out of this. You keep talking smack about Cleveland. 8-8 may win this division, too.
Nah. Well, maybe.
9-7, definitely.
Maybe. 9-7, definitely.
So, you know, you can't say what you want. Cleveland's in the mix. And a good enough thing that helps Cleveland is probably an easier schedule because they didn't make the playoffs.
That's right. True. But Cleveland ain't going nowhere.
Let me ask you this question. If Cleveland makes the playoffs,
wow!
What do you do?
What do you do? Crazy, right?
Well, I'm saying, isn't that kind of counterproductive to why they traded Trent Richardson?
No, because they got a gaping hole at quarterback.
So do you reward the quarterback who took them to the playoffs by keeping him as a starter? Do you go draft another?
No, you do just what Denver did and get him the fuck on. Okay. No, you don't keep Brandon Weeden because he got benched. And Hoyer got hurt to his ACL last night, and now he's back in the mix like his destiny or something. What's interesting is you get Josh Freeman. I know they're gonna bring out like you said today. They're probably bring out some fucking ATP, some asshole who has half.
They bring the guy who's doing this running.
Yeah, bring out some guy who's trading his shirt like we did Redman. Jacob's here, Redman, but. I think if you get one of these guys who can really make a statement, Cleveland can make some noise because the division is weak right now. So it's time to go for the throw. It's time to go for the juggler and kill. But we'll get from there. So we'll be competitive AFC North. Let's mosey on down to the South. And here we go. Oh, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Houston, and Jacksonville. Jacksonville, probably the worst team in NFL history. Look at this negative here. 98.
That means they're losing an average of 25 points a game.
They're getting ruined. Okay, so
how can this be an NFL? Like, I know this is you doing the takeover. How can this be an NFL team?
That's amazing.
Like I say, these guys are losing by Vegas can't make, literally, people say this joke, Vegas can't make the line high enough. Vegas literally cannot make the line. They have to make a line by 30 points for somebody to take Jacksonville.
That's crazy.
Because the point, from my understanding, the point of Vegas is to make it even. Exactly. The point is to make Ben even.
30 points.
Jacksonville line has to be at least 25. Like, that is piss poor pathetic.
I would take Jacksonville in 23 points if they played the Raiders.
I would
take Jacksonville in 23 points.
I know you running this show, but that's
awful.
That may be the worst in history. Like, if you use the lines and just the point differential to tell you, these people are.
Well,
what the fuck is Chris? Is that Tommy Lasorda?
Like, you don't know your photo? Hey, man, that's Tommy Lasorda. They holding him up. He old as shit. You gotta be a runner.
They look like a little kid behind him holding him up.
Craig Sabre just fine. Where you get these goddamn coats at? All right,
anyway. Hey, you gotta be custom.
Gotta be the dress like that, right?
You gotta be custom to dress like that.
Clowns R Us or something? I don't know.
Actually, a lot of this stuff be Versace and Saeed. He says some old brands. He actually uses his name brand.
That's why you tried to look like Chris Taylor last week. That motherfucking big ass coach ass whole last
motherfucker was fresh ahead.
Motherfucker busier than a Jamaican. Alright, so the AFC South, is it competitive? Well, first let's go through. What's the surprise here? Is the surprise really Jacksonville is a shitty.
I think it's a surprise.
I mean, you would not have believed Jacksonville.
No, it's three surprises. Everybody but Indianapolis.
It's a surprise.
I can't believe Jacksonville is this bad. Like, bad is one thing. This is horrible. I can't believe Houston is even. Hey, Von B, Bulls on parade. He sends that tweet out. He was sending that tweet out every Sunday.
What?
Oh, you should see them on Twitter talking about the Texans. Von B be kicking about the Texans. Wonders he still kicking about them on them.
Are you friends with Von B? You seem like the type of that'd be friends with Von B.
The king of the world of trade. You ain't like UGK?
No, I mean, you gotta like, listen, we're not gonna get our subject. Of course I like UGK.
Yeah, you want me to be friends with the king of the world of trade.
We're just dropping them off and I'm gonna say what Von B said. That's what you're probably doing.
So anyway, let's go. Bulls on parade to Von B.
I don't even understand what that means.
Okay. That's a little rally call. And you know they did a rap. H-O-U-S-T-O. Zero Sim Thug and Paul Wall. I want to do they still play. I want to do they play in the game.
I feel like, you would know what these Houston who ain't rapped in 10 years.
You know how bad I'm
Paul Wall, the other niggas say, and he's still making grill. I don't know what he's fucking
Yeah,
he bought one.
Everybody, I guess he's popular.
Nobody buys a grill no more.
Everybody buying that. So I do that real game. And I tell you, like people 2001, the dude that Rick White skin dude had the braids that John Elway signed throwback with the grill.
Which is why I say you need to start charging them.
I said, I told my partner,
and he had a Ruger on his hip. All right, so
what
he had a pistol. I don't know what it was.
Oh, man.
He had a
pistol. Man, I had my pistol in the car.
Yeah. Oh, boy, you AFC South, competitive or not competitive?
Well, I haven't finished with my surprises.
Okay.
Houston is a surprise. And Tennessee's a surprise, quite frankly. They're 3-1.
Yeah, they're sliding on the radar, ain't
it? Exactly. Like, they're 3-1, and that point differential is like plus 30. So, that even though they're winning close, even though their games are close, they're winning. I should know they're winning their games by almost 10 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they lost close.
I didn't see them come either. And actually, they slid really under the radar. I still don't believe in Jake Locker, though.
He's hurt right now, but
yeah, but
he's just really good the past couple games. What were you asking? Is it competitive?
Well, it got to be.
Yeah. I think that.
At this point.
I don't know. It's one of those things where Jacksonville is so bad that it brings the whole division down.
Because you got a couple of teams jockeying for the number one spot, and both of the teams jockeying for the number one spot is not even the team that you thought would be number one. You know what I'm saying? Houston is number three in this division right now. So, as of now, I don't think it's going to end up that way. I don't think Tennessee's going to end up. But as of now, I think they look pretty good. Now, moving right along to the AFC East, because we're going to say the West for the last. AFC East, New England, Miami, the Jets, and Buffalo. Yeah, two rookies in this division. They're both playing all right. They're not too bad. Miami came out the gates. They're looking like something like the money they spent paid off for now.
I'm going to tip my hand as soon as you get this. I'm going to tip my hand early. This may be the most competitive division in football.
Right, you think now this is the most competitive division?
It might be. Well, actually, these last two may be the two of the most competitive divisions in football.
So, what do you think here? Any surprises in here? I think, for me, Miami being 3-1 so far is a surprise.
For me, Miami being 3-1, and also the Jets. The Jets are 2-2, and everybody thought the wheels would be off by now, meaning like they would have fired Rex Ryan in the middle of a game and had his replacement come out the stands like a wrestling match. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
going on a run.
Exactly. By now, everybody thought the Jets would be fucked up, essentially.
I think
down bad.
I think the best thing he did was shut the fuck up and start paying attention to coaching. Because all that hoopla and all that talking was getting you absolutely nowhere. Only thing it was doing was putting a bullseye on your back. That's the only thing it did. But I don't think they're going to do shit. And I think, do you think it's time to get rid of him? I think it's time to get rid of him.
It's hard to say right now. Like, this is a very I don't like the Jets, but I wouldn't. This is an unenviable position for them. Because if they, let's say they go 8-8 or 9-7, it's stuck with Rex one more year, right? And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where you're almost in no man's land. It's better to kind of fire him and move on as opposed to.
Yeah, no, it's time to get rid of. I mean, if you can find Marty Schottenheimer at 14-2, surely you can fire.
But different organization, different mantra.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, his time is up. Rex Ryan is not going to get you anywhere.
It's
a shame that they spent those good years of that sorry-ass, wet-back Mark Sanchez. Because I think that was his time and he could have made some noise. They went to back-to-back championship game.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, again, this is your show.
Go ahead. Quit saying that.
What happens to Mark Sanchez, man? They have a lot of money tied up into him. Yeah. Nobody's going to take him with that contract.
Cut him!
Who's going to take him with that contract?
Cut him! I want to have him on my roster.
But don't they own like something like 20 meal guaranteed or something?
Well, it was
like
dumb because they just signed him to that big ass contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To show like, them that, hey, we're not going out to pay, man. And you're our guy. Dumb move.
Of course, Tannenbaum, who did that decision, is long gone.
Dumb move. I think you have to cut your ties and pay that luxury tax or pay him whatever you owe, man. You call it a day.
Like basketball, pay him to go away. That's the only place they do that is in the NBA where they may buy somebody like, who's old?
Buy someone out.
Like Steve Francis.
Yeah.
Trade for them, buy them out just to stay away.
I mean, that's what you have to do essentially to Mark Sanchez.
But that kills a football team.
You can't have him on the roster. I think you have, and now you have to go get him.
Because that money still counts against the cap, from my understanding.
It does count against the cap.
So that kills a team. But it's not as much. Who's not playing.
But not as much. So it let's say they got to pay him $5 million. It's not going to count $5 million against the cap.
But anything gets the cap still. If something gets the cap for a cap who's not there.
But what you going to do with him?
I mean, I agree. I just want curious as to your opinion. Because
I think they just got an excuse now where he's hurt for the year. But they were going to get him out of there anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I think eventually you got to get rid of him. Sad to say. But, hey, see you later, Mark.
So,
not too many surprises in this division. I still think Miami is a surprise. EJ Manuel is better than I thought he would have been if he could stay fucking healthy. That's about it. Any surprise for you? New England is 4-0 in the division. You know, you expect them to beat the division. The division is still shitty.
Yeah, you came up with the idea that they should rotate conferences.
They really should. They should switch this shit up. I mean, especially when you got that kind of longevity. Imagine if it was, Jacksonville is just a lost cause this year. But it would have been more competitive if it was Jacksonville, Tennessee, Miami, you know what I mean? And then put Indy up there. Like we discussed in other podcasts. You just don't have a team. That's how they build these dynasties. You walk through the year.
Through the division.
Yeah, you so walk you through it.
They get 5 or 6 wins in the division.
They get 6. They're just going to blow all these cats out. Then now here it is in the playoff, and you're like 14-2 or some shit. So I think they should swap it out. But not too many surprises here. Competitive or not competitive, this division?
I think you got to go with competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it.
I think so. I agree. We don't have to break them down. They suck. All right, so let's go to the meat and potatoes of all this. The AFC West. And this is a good one, this shit. Denver and Kansas City 4-0. That's damn good. San Diego, like Phillip Rivers, got his mojo back.
Your guy.
That's I like him, man. He got to look. Now, see, the difference between him and Jay Cutler, I like him. He talks shit. He's not much of an ass. He's just, you can see the confidence.
You know, he got like 8 kids or something.
Hey, man, you got that. He's wrong. You're fucking wrong. You get your kids. Difference between him and Jay Cutler, cocky. He's confident. I like his, you got a mile out. You think it's a sport. And I like his decision better. I like him. But then you go to Oakland and they're struggling as usual, but everyone knows that they will be struggling as usual. Now, this seems to be the most competitive division in football right now. Any surprises here?
I think the one that stands out to me is Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Actually, Kansas City and Denver. Mm-hmm. And I'll say from a standpoint, Kansas City just being 4-0. And Denver being how they are being 4-0. But if you look at point differential for both of them, like, everybody looking at Denver like they've been such a juggernaut that nobody can't stop them. Kansas City isn't far off.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at points for points against and just overall point differential, I have to give Andy Reid a salute. Hell of a job for the first quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it was just a new voice they needed or something. Or I don't know if it was a change that they both needed, but they look damn good.
It was a change they needed, and let's just be honest, Andy Reid, regardless of if he goes back to the Super Bowl or not, which he may not, he is a Hall of Fame coach, I think.
Would you give him Hall of Fame?
I would give him Hall of Fame. I mean,
look, no Super Bowl rings. Only one appearance in the Super Bowl.
How many conference titles did they have?
They went four times. They only got one conference title because they only went
to one. How many times they went to the championship? I mean,
they went four straight. I know they went four straight. They may have went five total.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Andy Reid was up there coaching like a motherfucker, man. Now, he did have Donovan McNabb, but it had essentially no run game. Throwing to people like Todd Pinkston and James Thrash. Come on, it was just McNabb, Westbrook, and the defense. So, I think Andy Reid is a great coach, and he's showing in Kansas City. But they had a pretty good team to begin with.
Now, sometimes you need somebody different to talk to you, right? You
need someone who had a real plan. And Romeo, first off, any fat nigga Romeo is not the answer, ever. So let's be honest. Only thing he
said the name is Pies. Yeah, because I know the answer to who's the Lord's McDonald's.
Yeah. Romeo. But he's not. He wasn't on that level. Let's be real. He's good at what he is. A great coordinator. Defensive coordinator. But as far as head coach, now, you ever heard that cat talk? He sounds like he's sucking in helium.
God.
So, Kansas City, I think, is a surprise in this division. Denver's not a surprise. I thought they were going to be exactly who they are. It's Peyton Manning. So, that's what Peyton Manning does. When he helped, you seen last year, he was going to give you what you want. And that's fresh off of the surgery table. So, you know, a year in, more steady, more time, and you pick up Wes Walker, oh, yeah. Get your condoms out. It's time to fuck. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that's what Peyton Manning does. So, good division. What do you think? You think competitive or not competitive?
I think it's the best division of football because I actually think San Diego is underrated. I actually think San Diego and the Raiders are underrated. I think the Raiders are, they aren't horrible.
No. They're better than their record, so I know that's a dumb thing to say, but they're really
not. It's a cliche. Exactly. And the same thing with San Diego. I think San Diego should be 3-1. Because the game, who did they lose to? They were up by 20 and the team came storming back and won. I forgot who it was. It was the first game in Houston. When they were up by 20 on Houston, and Houston came back and won. So, in my eyes, San Diego should be 3-1. And the Raiders are competitive, too. You know what I'm saying? So, all that to say that I would say this is the most competitive division in football through the first quarter. My opinion.
That's a good one. So, now that was the first quarter of football from the Digital Darren Show, the takeover by Calhoun. Thank you, Mr. Darren, for coming to my show here. Enjoyed it.
I enjoy it. Thanks for letting me be a guest.
Hey, he was a good guest. Don't y'all agree? Now, for more information on how you can get on the show, just contact
you can email us at digitaldarren, DARON@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Instagram, Digital Darren Podcast, Digital, DARON Podcast on Instagram. On Twitter, you can hit us up at Digital Darren, @Digital, DARON. Plenty of ways to get at us.
You can Skype us for more than that. That's a whole lot of ways.
Exactly.
I don't know what that means.
You can Skype us and look for us. Again, keep in mind we're on iTunes and we should be joining the podcast directory pretty soon.
Hey, we're looking forward to it. Thanks again, Digital Darren. And this is it. You want to do your moniker with the two chains?
Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Irks me every time. Y'all have a good one.